Hello, I'm Carl, and today we're going to be talking about the crossover event between Arrow and The Flash. The three or four people who have listened to this podcast before, you know, normally I pause it, I watch it, pause it, come back, talk to you, and go on like that. But this time, I got excited and I watched the whole thing. I'll be honest, I watched it all because it was amazing. It was one of the better episodes I've seen for a long time on these, but on both of these shows, especially Arrow, Arrow really stepped up on this one. And I'm happy and I'm excited to start talking about it. So let's get into it. The first half of this crossover is based on Flash. And it's mainly Flash's story. And it starts off with Barry on the treadmill and he can't get faster. He's four times slower or something than Zoom. And it starts off a bit slow actually when it's the start, but it immediately kicks on. And Wells is a bit harsh on him, and that was it. Just ended. I was thinking, well, that's a bit of a slow start. I expected more. I do expect more from this show, but you know, it really does kick on. So let's get in. Let's go back straight into it. We straight away. We see a new bad guy. It's Vandal Savage. We don't know that yet, but it is. I'll let you know. And he comes off this boat, and he's got these handcuffs on. I don't get why he's on the boat. Why he can't just magic himself so where he is, where he needs to be. But he stows away on this boat. They got him in handcuffs, and then he's like, you know, I'm not the one in handcuffs, and handcuffs are on the other guy, and he murders everyone with these knives, and he's that cool, and I like it. I like him as well. I think he's a great villain already. Already he's got a little bit about him, he's a little bit scary. And yeah, great shots of him just being mean to everyone, which I think all villains should have a good start like that, where he's just straight away, he's murdering, he's killing, you know, and sets him up to be a bad villain, but in a good way, obviously. So after that, we go on to Kendra and Cisco on a date, and 3 weeks in, and they are at a super romantic level. Now, 3 weeks into my girlfriend, I was like, want to sit off an arse, you know what I mean? And she was there like, let's have a champagne dinner where I've made you two different meals in case you didn't want what meal you wanted. And I mean, come on, it's a little bit far-fetched, a little bit. I mean, if you've ever been on a date, if you've been in a three-week relationship and that's what you do, let me know. Tastemakers Twitter, Tastemakers UK on Twitter, you know what I mean? You let me know if that's ever been a thing, because I don't think it has. But, you know, Cisco's cool. Kendra's cool. And the bad guy shows up halfway through and says stuff about her being a priestess. And I'm like, what? I don't even know what a story. I don't know Hawkgirl's story. I mean, I do now after watching this, but I didn't. And and Cisco's trying to protect her, and he texts Barry on the sly, and Barry turns up. And it's great, actually. He turns up. Boss little movements, boss music, woman punches him, and, you know, then that fella throws the blade at him and he catches it last second. It's like cool, and then he's gone. And it's actually funny, I've been watching a lot of Buffy, so everything I'm going to talk about, I'm comparing it to Buffy, because Buffy's the greatest. And it's a very Xander moment where Cisco says, like, oh, Barry, you saved us, and he just turns around and he's like, oh, come on. And what was class, what really good, really light, really light way to get her into the group without being, like, super serious and, you know, oh, we can't tell him who he is. It's just like, you know what, we made it, Cisco fucked up, and it's gone. And it's done, now she's in the group. And I like that, you know what I mean? No messing, no, oh, can we show her who she is? No, she's in the group, let's go, move on. So they decide between themselves that she's not safe in Central City and decide that they need to go to Star City. And so we get our first glimpse of Arrow when he's written by someone else. I think he's written by someone else. I tried to look at it on IMDb and I couldn't really tell who the writer. It just said like teleplay and I don't really get what that is. But it's a different writer, I think, and they write them well better already. Straight away, they use a trick Arrow in it. Boss one, all the magnets happen and it's a magnetic Arrow. He fires it and everyone's gun flies over to him. Not Ollie's weapons or Speedy's weapons or Diggle's gun, but everyone else's gun. But I mean, I'll let it go. It was funny. And he's fighting he's fighting Dark in this warehouse again, and Flash helps them, and they get away, and then and they're kind of faded away, and I was like, oh, I'd like to see what Dark felt of Flash, if he had any thoughts on him. That'd have been good to know. But again, it's such a good episode that I don't really want to do this. I always do this, and always say, like, oh, I wish it would have done that, but I don't, because it was a great episode. So, Barry, Oliver takes all of them back into the Arrow Cave, and they're all like, wow, this is amazing, it looks all great, and the banter and the talking and the fun of this little scene where they're all introducing each other is amazing. I loved it. I'd have this all the way. I'd have both of these shows doing this constantly. I think it's great. They're all nice to each other. They're all fun. They're all having little jokes and they're all like, who's this? And then, you know, and then it gets a little bit serious, and that's what works, because, like, because it's so fun, when it gets serious, it feels more serious. Where when, like, Arrow is constantly serious, like, all the time, it loses its appeal. You have to go a little bit fun sometimes to go serious. Flash does that better than Arrow, and I think Arrow could learn from this crossover and do that. So after all the banter and the jokes, Oliver's not really happy with Barry, because they don't know who Kendra is, and Kendra doesn't know who she is, but, like, Barry's like, you brought an unknown and compromised everyone's identity and everyone's lives. And I understand that. That's right. Barry does need to be thinking about that a lot more. So they go back to Oliver's mansion flatting for drinks, and it's fun, and they're having more banter, which I'm game for, because with the likes of Thea, Cisco and Barry, they're all young people. They need to be having fun. It brings them back. It makes you like them more. It makes you care more about them to know that. Sometimes they just want to have a little bevy and a little chat. You know what I mean? And that's what they do here. And they're giving toasts and stuff to meet, to not seeing each other more often. And then Vandal Savage turns up. And they manage to fight him off, just about. And it's a great little scene. Oliver's straight away fighting him. Barry's catching all the knives that he's throwing. It's great, and I loved it. And I like it to be Oliver who shot him properly and not Thea, but whatever, it's great. I don't care really that much. It was a great episode. It was a great scene. So at this point, Cisco decides to tell everyone that that he's Vibe, essentially, and everyone's a bit like, whoa, why didn't you tell anyone? He was like, I didn't know what it was, blah, 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 blah. And then the lights go out on my favourite Malcolm Merlin turns up. And he just turns up. And there's no real reason for him to turn up. He just turns up and goes, you know, this guy's so super powerful. And I think it's just for more context in terms of how hard Vandal is to show that, like, Malcolm Merlin's even scared of him. Now, Wells and Caitlin have stayed in Central City to work on a serum or something. I mean, I always call it a serum because I don't know any other word for these things that they just make up. And it's to give Barry more speed force. And it adds more oxygen to his blood as he's going. And they don't know how to test it. So they get Jay Garrick, who apparently is still in AF1. And I want to ask something. Why does Jay Garrick call his AF AF2? That makes no sense. I'd be calling my AF AF and wherever else the other AF is, AF2. Surely, into his mind, AF2 is AF1. You know what I mean? But I just don't get that. But let me know if you know why. If you have some reason for it. I mean, other than we know we it's our AF1 and you don't want to be saying AF1 and 2 all the time. And Jay is against using the drug. He doesn't want to. And he fumes at Caitlin for even saying it. He's like, the Force is a living, breathing entity. It's not chemicals. It's something. And I like that. It shows that it's not all science. It's a little bit magical. You know what I mean? It's a little bit special. It's not just like, oh, you know, in a lab like the old one. So Cisco and Kendra now go outside and have a little chat. And I was a bit like, why are they going outside on their own when an immortal bad guy is trying to find this girl and kill her? What's Cisco going to do? But, you know, they're chatting it out, and then Hawkman takes Kendra instead, and I was a bit like, whoa, I thought Vandal was going to come. But, you know, this Hawk guy comes, I'm going to call him Hawk guy, because calling Hawk man and then Hawk girl is a little bit derogatory, or derogatory, should I say, to Hawk girl, you know what I mean? Why Hawk man and then Hawk, or Hawk man and then Hawk girl, you know what I mean? Whatever. But whatever, I'm nitpicking at a character that's been there longer than I've been alive. So Hawkman takes Kendra up to a roof and he's like, you know, you need to remember, you need to emerge from who you are, you know. And she's a bit like, she gets a few flashes of stuff, but I didn't really notice what they were, and she doesn't really get it. But the real bit here is Flashing Arrow versus Hawkman. Great fight. Absolutely boss, loved it. You know what I mean? Pitting them up, they're all fighting. Oliver shows that he's got a bit more nous about him than the Flash, and he can work out how to fight him. He knew that the wings are the weak points. And eventually they beat him. Thought it was great. Really enjoyed that bit. And we don't really get, like, superhero versus superhero on the shows anymore. It's always, you know, bad guy versus good guy. It's never just, you know, two people, three people squaring off and just getting at each other. And then out of nowhere, Patty just shoots Wells. Boom, shot him. I was like, whoa, Patty. Trigger happy or what? You know what I mean? Are these police people or are these, like, murderers? You know what I mean? He's like, is she a policewoman or is she a murderer? Because if I got shot by a policeman like that, or a policewoman, should I say, I'd be kicking off. I'd be like, ah, I'm gone. She just shot me for zero. Like, all you did was say, stay still, and I moved a tiny bit and just shot me. You know what I mean? You have no right to just shoot people, Patty. That's not how the police work. So now they have Hawkman tied up, and they tell her, and he tells them that, like, you know, they've been around for 4,000 years. Every time they died, they said they reincarnated and they found each other. And Vandal Savage's life force only exists because he kills them. They don't know why, they don't know how, because they can't remember that far back. But that's it. Vandal Savage has to kill them to survive, and he's been killed 260 times, as far as he knows. I like that story. That's a great storyline. It's got love, it's got power, it's got fighting, it's got time. And it excited me. I really enjoyed it. I can't really remember how, but you know that they're after, that Vandal is after the Staff of Horus. The team have decided that they can find it first. But before all that, Kendra has to emerge. So she jumps off a building. But the Flash catches her, and apparently that can't work. She has to feel that adrenaline of, I could die if I don't emerge, to emerge. Makes sense. Makes sense to me. And I'd like, and Barry's like, all like, oh no, you know, she can't. And he has a little one-on-one with Oliver. And Oliver's great in this episode, by the way. He really is. He's really stepped it up for me. He's a leader in this episode. So Wells has been shot, and the bullet's lodged in an artery, and he's not dead, but it's killing him. The bullet's killing him. And I was a bit like, oh, he looks like he kind of got shot in the heart. It was a great shot by Patty, to be fair. But they need Jay. So Jay turns up and he takes the serum and uses a speed force, you know, to do that, like the vibrating thing where he'll vibrate through stuff. I can't remember what it's called. And gets the bullet out and saves Wells' life. And then Wells is like, thank you. And he's like, I'll never take that serum again. Just keep it away from Barry. And I don't get why he's scared, but I trust him. I trust Jay Garrick. I mean, he's got a new haircut. He's been missing in action, just wandering around F1 for weeks. And I trust him. So Barry and Oliver go to this church looking for the Staff of Horus in Central City. Why it's at a church, I don't know. But it is. And when they go in, it's dead funny. Like, Oliver's like, Barry's like, I like to speed into a room and slide. And I was like, that's class. Dead meta, dead funny. Oliver says something back, and it's great. Why can't the both shows do stuff like this all the time? This type of dialogue where it's funny, like a comic book would be. You know what I mean? And Savage is already there, and they have a fight, and he's using his boss staff. And great graphics, to be fair. Episode must have been super expensive. I was listening to that podcast with the creator, you know, Fat Man on Batman, Kevin Smith and Mark Bernardin's one. And he's like, you know, we have to save our budget for the episodes. So I was thinking, defo saved up a budget for this episode. It must have cost a bomb. All the graphics and stuff. But I don't mind. You can save up all the budget you want for show, for episodes like this. And but at the same time, this has happened. Kendra has decided that she has to just jump herself. No safety net. She does it. She opens her wings and she flies and she becomes Hawkgirl again. And then, and Savage feels that and he just bails, gets off, and he's like, and then Oliver and that are like, you know, we'll call it a draw. And I was like, that's boss. That type of level of comedy is where it should be. Just enough. Not outright joking, but just enough. So Savage has gone missing now. And they're just sitting off having a coffee in the coffee shop, that Jitters one that they all go to, where Kendra used to work. And Barry sees that girl who used to have, who told him he did, whose baby had an abortion, and sees the baby, and it's about, and the kid's about 9. And he puts 2 and 2 together, and it was a great ending. I'm so excited to find out what happens with that. That's where I hope the story just goes that way, like, to the kid. What does he do with the kid? You know what I mean? Where does he go with that? You know what I mean? He's got a girl he's in love with, a girl he's going to marry. He's trying to be mayor. He's the Green Arrow. Lash a kid in the mix, see what he does. And I'm excited for that. And that's the end of the episode. And what a great episode of the first half of this crossover it was. It was superb. Really stepped it up. I enjoyed it so much. I had a smile on my face. I was watching it. I can't wait. And we're going to get straight into the next one. And we're going to go into it right now. So after that first half of that episode, after that crossover event, let's go straight into the next half. And it starts off with in Egypt, with Hawkman and Hawkgirl and Vandal. And it's just letting us know where they were at the start. And, you know, he's got the staff of Horus, and they're openly in like court, whatever, in front of the king or the pharaoh. They're like, they're against each other, but they're not on the slide. They love each other. And obviously Vandal kind of sees that they love each other. And I was like, yeah, okay, let's just move on. That's good. Let's move on now, but let's get back to where we want to be. But that's good. We know now. We know where they're from, what they're doing. And not in any rushed way. It's just, I'm really excited to get back to where we were. I just want to know what's going on with Oliver. I want to know where they are, what's going on with Vandal. Have they found him? Have they done anything? What's going on? Are we just going to boom straight back into Jitters where we were? I don't know. And I'm excited to find out. So it starts off and it's boss. Love this first scene. It's like amazing. Nothing happens. It's just a kind of a one-shot vibe of them walking through like a cottage. And it's great fears, like, you know, a load of heroes in a cottage. Where have I seen that before? And it's like, yeah, you know, we have seen it on Avengers Age of Ultron. But, you know, it's all like this big boss one-shot, and they're all going, like, you know, they're all saying, I'm going to be doing this, and it's all based around Oliver, and he's saying, like, you know, what are you, you guys do this, and then you guys do that, and they're all doing stuff. I loved it. I could watch that all day. I could watch a whole episode like that. You know what I mean? It'd be a real challenge for them, and they'll never do it. And it'll never work. It'd be silly. You'd get bored. But I loved it. I really did. But they've all got a plan. They've all got something to do, except Oliver. And he's like, oh, I've got to leave. I've got something I've got to do. And it's like, come on. Already with the, you know what I mean? And she gets onto it. She's like, the secrets. And he's going, we know where he's going, don't we? We know he's going to go and look at this kid and see if it is. So, you know, let's get straight into that. I'm super excited. He's definitely weirded out by it. You can see in his face. And already Oliver, again, Steve and Amel, is stepping up in this episode. I think he's really enjoying this type of dialogue and this type of acting. Less stiff. In like the normal series, in like the normal Arrow episodes, he's very stiff and he's very strong and he's very like soldier-like. But in this, he's a little bit more relaxed. And I think him and Grant Gustin just vibe off each other so well. They're just bouncing the dev phone. They're like, they go well together, and I wish they could just be in it together more. But they can't. Obviously, they have their own shows together. They can't be doing these every week. So Carter decides that he's going to take over Kendra's training because she's their surprise factor in the fact that Vandal doesn't really know that she knows that she can do anything, yeah. And they have a good discussion about the past, and they're like, you know, she's, and I'm interested, And it's good that I'm interested because they have their own show coming out there, and I'd like to just, it's good, I want to see more. I want to see them, I want to see loads of this, them two, what they do, what happens to them, what happens to them, what's happened to them, what's going to happen to them, how they always fall in love, why they always fall in love, is it that strong, the love, and what's going to happen with Cisco. So Oliver did go and see this girl about the kid, and she's like, no, it's not yours. I met a guy a couple of weeks after I met you, after I had the abortion. I mean, I don't buy it, and neither does he. And he takes a little hair off the kid's hat that she drops to get analysed by Barry. And I'm more interested in that than I am in about Savage. I am, because I like that. That's where his power is going to come from. That's where his strength will come from. How he handles having a kid is what the character, what type of person he is. You know what I mean? Yet we know that he's a good person. He's trying to always save the world, and he's trying to fight bad guys all the time while becoming a mayor. But this would bring it home for people. You know, how would he react to having a child? I really want to know what's going to happen. And I hope Arrow itself focuses on him, focuses on what this is going to be for him, how this is going to change how he fights, how does he deal with Dark when he knows he's got a kid? Will Dark ever find a kid? All these questions we need to know, and I hope they address it. But as all that's finishing, Malcolm calls Oliver and says he set up a meeting with Vandal to discuss a treaty type of thing, which, I mean, I'm a bit suspect about, obviously. You know what I mean? And as we're getting there, Barry goes in there, and he sees a ghost of himself, like when he time travels, and it obviously freaks him out a little bit, obviously. And I'm excited to see what happens with the time travel, because I love the time travel bit in the first series. It was one of the best bits in the series, when it goes back and it's all quiet and that. It's boss. Really can't wait for that. Meeting doesn't go too well. Vandal gives them a 24-hour time limit, or he's going to destroy everything and everyone they know. And I was like, you know what, I believe him. He brings the message home. Great acting by the guy who plays Vandal Savage, actually, to be fair. He's really good at it. He's got a great accent. I think, I'm not too sure, but he's in Batman. I think it's the same guy who's like that gangster guy in Batman, Dark Knight Rises. The Dark Knight. And then, yeah, they've got 24 hours now. They either hand them over or millions of people die. Obviously, they're not going to do it. Obviously, all of us just like, we're not doing it. Says to Barry, we're not doing it straight away. Again, shows more character of them. These episodes than we get on the last couple of Arrow episodes. And there's a great thread by Malcolm. I love Malcolm. He's so weird. Like, for some reason, he cares loads about Thea. And, like, you know what I mean? He's killed millions of people, and he didn't care about his original son. But for some reason, he cares loads about Thea. And he's like, you know, if you tear Thea, I'll come back at you and make Vandal look like a joke. And I'm like, you know, I love him. He can't. He's not that powerful. But I love him anyway. I think he's boss. I think the guy, John Barrowman, is amazing at it. I'd love him. And I kind of hope that he is the one who dies this season, because it will bring him back into it more. They keep bringing him in as this the secondary character. Like, is he a goodie? Is he a baddie? I'd love him to come back as a bad guy. He's so crazy and so weird. He's like Arrow's own little Joker, with a weird sense of right and wrong, where he kind of thinks he's doing right all the time, but he's not. He's just not doing right at all. He keeps calling all his people minions and stuff. He's great. I love him. So they find this old conspiracy theory stuff saying that Vandal, like, you know, this old guy's like, you know, Vandal Savage is a monster and he's going to be the end of the world. And the only way to kill him is using his own artifacts against him. You know, putting it right out there that, you know, you get the staff of Horus off him and you can kill him. So that's the plan, I think. That's what the game is, to get the Egyptian artifact and hurt Barry and hurt Savage back. And Barry does the DNA test, and it's his kid, and he's rocked. Oliver is rocked. And he's like, please don't tell anyone. Let me just figure all this out. Give me, and I just need a bit of time to figure it out. Don't tell anyone. And then Barry's like, yeah, yeah, go ahead, yeah, done, locked in. I'm your boy, I'm your mate. No one will find out. And Barry walks off, and then immediately Felicity comes in, and he's got hold of the sheet, and he speeds it straight into his pocket, and Felicity goes, what did you just speed into your pocket? And she's just like all over him, and then he bottles it, and he gives it anyway. It's a class little boss scene. You know what I mean? Like a woman. Like he's scared of like a strong woman, like Felicity, which I liked. I thought it was great. Did enjoyed it so much. Enjoyed this whole episode, to be honest. I know I keep saying I loved it and enjoyed it, because I did. The episode was amazing. It really showed character development. It showed everything. It showed characters. It showed more character than everyone. Like, even like you dig a lot of Lanfear, who barely said a word, I'd get them more. But just because they've said a few little lines here and there, and it comes across well, and the whole character comes in. There's something that happens in this episode that Flash and especially Arrow is guilty of. We find some big news out, and then we don't immediately get a follow-up off it. But in this episode, it goes boom. Felicity comes straight at Ollie and is like, why weren't you going to tell me? Why didn't you come straight to me? And it's amazing. Yep, this bit is boss. It makes me care about them as a relationship more than the whole season. And it shows that, you know, it shows so much personality, and personality that gets in the way. You know what I mean? All of his personality gets in the way of him truly committing to Felicity, because he's so secretive and he so has to deal with everything personally. It's all about, he's so much about how does he deal with it. He doesn't think, you know what I mean? He doesn't think like, oh, I've got this problem, I'll tell Felicity and she can help me out. He's like, no, I've got to deal with it on my own. No one else can be a part of it. And that shows, and it makes you care more. It makes you feel sorry for Felicity. It makes you feel sorrier for Oliver. You know what I mean? And then it makes you feel sorry for the relationship. And that's something that Arrow hasn't brought forth yet. But hopefully we'll get more of it now. Now that you've seen this and you've seen, hopefully they get that people really like this and they'll do it more. But there's no rest for Oliver. There's no minute that he can get to deal with everything. And he has to go. And he goes into the barn where they all are. And he's just like, you know, this is the plan. Me and Oliver, me and Barry are going to be going in, and we're going to fight him, and we're going to set up, and then we're going to fight all these, and they're going to bring, use Hawkgirl to fight, be a surprise, ace in the hole, and fight Vandal Savage, and they're going to use these gauntlets that Cisco's made, because he can make everything, and it doesn't work. Everyone dies, and it was such an incredible scene. I cannot get over how good this scene was. So the fighting, and you know, Barry, Oliver's head's not in the game apparently, and you know, because of all this that's going on, and he's battering him, and he's getting battered, and then Hawkgirl's wings don't open because she's not ready yet, and it was unreal. I can't even get my words out. It was incredible. And then Barry and Oliver are holding on to the staff together, and Oliver's like, you know, you grab, you lead, you run, you can survive, I can't get away, you run. And then he runs, and then, you know, and then Savage unleashes this incredible shockwave that just destroys everything. The whole city's just destroyed. And as Barry's running away, he travels back in time to where we saw, where he saw his ghost. And I was like, whoa. Could not believe it. I was like sitting up. I had to stand up, like in my bed. I mean, not in my bed, in my living room. I was like, what? You know what I mean? Could not believe it. It was best time travel I've seen. Probably the best action scene we've seen all season, to be fair. So, and now we're back to where Savage gives them the 24 hours. And immediately, Oliver's like, what's up with you, Barry? And then Barry tells him, and I love that. Everyone else is scared of it. Like, Cisco's scared in the episode. Cisco and all that are like, oh, you can't mess with the timeline. You know, don't mess with the timeline. And Oliver's just like, well, it didn't work last time, so let's do it again. Well, tell me what we did wrong and we'll fix it. and Oliver's so game. Oliver, like, he's so good in it, to be fair. Steve Unamel is amazing. He's like, he's boss, and he takes on the role of changing everything. Doesn't let Barry do it. He goes up to, he doesn't let Carter, who's Hawkman, doesn't let Hawkman take Dingo's training. He lets Cisco do it this time. And Cisco, because he's like, it's not about being a warrior, it's about being true to yourself, and you know about that. And I was like, what? No, that's great, that. Great line. Then Cisco goes and helps Hawkgirl. She comes back and he's like, I know what happened. I know why the gauntlets didn't work, and I know why this didn't work. Because she has a memory now. She opens her mind to her memories, and she remembers the first time, something that Carter couldn't remember. And it was so good. And then Oliver doesn't go and see the kid yet. Decides not. You know what I mean? He decides to deal with Savage first, then go see the kid, which is obviously a better way of going with it. You know what I mean? If he survives, he survives, and he can go and meet his kid. If he doesn't, the kid never knows, and the kid's happy anyway. And this time, and we've all seen that picture of all the whole team with Hawkgirl and Hawkman, and this time they bring everyone with them. You know what I mean? They bring along, what's her name, Canary, and Speedy, and Diggle, and, I mean, they fight Savage, and the Canary calls shit. I'm not even asked. I know it's a big fan favourite through the comics, but it looks terrible. It doesn't even sound very good. You know what I mean? It's just there, standing there with a mouth open, with like a bazillion perfectly white teeth looking at me. And I'm thinking, you know, that's shit, that. That's, if I hear that, how I see her doing that, I'm thinking, get on here. Get on that gimp over there shouting at me. You know what I mean? Doesn't do anything. So, but whatever, you know, it's a comic book show. They've got to use the comic book powers, so to speak. But this time, they beat him. And it's amazing. They all do the opposite of what they did last time. They all fight with her. They all do stuff. This time, Oliver's got hold of the stick, the staff of Horus, and he's firing it at Vandal Savage, and Barry comes over and grabs it, and he's like, you know, we'll do it together, and it's boss. Looks great. So it's all done, and it's over, and Vandal Savage is just a pile of dust, and Malcolm turns up and takes the dust away and sings some song about, like, you know, how you'll be resurrected. And I was like, oh yeah, he's got a game. He's always got a plan, and that's why I like him. He's always got his own little snidey move. I know he always says, oh, you know, I'm here for Thea. He's never there just for Thea. He's always got a plan for himself to gain. Him and his own, he's always got a plan for the league to gain something. And that's why I love him, because all the way through he's like, you know, I'm here for Thea. I mean, to just see what's going on, but it's not. He's always got his own little plan, and I love that. But yeah, so Kendra has a little word with Cisco, and he's like, you know, I know we've been dating and stuff, but you know, I need to go with Carter and really find out who I am and where I've come from. And then it's a bit sad, and I feel a bit sly for Cisco, but I mean, it was 3 weeks. I think he'll get over it. I mean, she's Peng. She's really good looking. But, you know, Cisco's all right. He'll do okay. They didn't really match anyway. I mean, she was all 4 foot bigger than him. But, you know. Okay, so Oliver, Barry and Oliver again have a boss little scene where I really liked them together. I think the boss and Barry saying to him, you know, I grew up without my dad and I know I'd want one. You know what I mean? So Oliver's like, you know, yeah. Okay, well, I hear that. Let me go and speak to the mum again. And there's most little bit where Barry's like, let's hug me. And he's like, you know, no, I'm not a hugger. And then he's like, Barry's like, well, I could just hug you anyway and you'd never even know. And then so they hug anyway. Instead of awkward, then it's cool. It's funny, you know what I mean? It makes them both just a little bit like that, which is something I don't think either show does enough, where... Oh, but Oliver just saying, you know, I'm not a hugger. It just shows who he is. He's like a bit standoffish. He's a personal person. You know what I mean? Where he's not all hugs and kisses, you know what I mean? He's just like, you know, I'm Green Arrow. I've been on an island for 5 years and been bit by sharks and stuff and all, whatever he's done. So we go to the kid's house, whose name's William, and the mum is not happy, does not want him involved, but she says, you know, you do have rights, so I'll let you, you can't tell anyone, you know what I mean? It has to be secret, which I was a bit like, well, you know, it's a bit moody. But he's like, you know, I'll do anything. And he agrees. And so he can't tell Felicity, he can't tell anyone that he's got this kid. And I was so into that because now how is he going to deal with that in his life? What's he going to do? He can't leave for Central City once a week and Felicity not get onto it, what he's doing. You know what I mean? It can't be that secretive. It's going to have to come out. And I'm really hoping that in the next episode of Arrow, we just get straight into that. There's no messing around with nothing else. That's the main storyline for me. You know what I mean? That should be the main focus. And then in the background, Damien Dark should be there. But, you know, let's forget about that for now because the episode's finished and it was incredible. You know, I've said it all the way through this. I loved it. I'd take these two episodes constantly. This style of writing, this style of show, this editing, this direction, this speed, this pace of it, the look, the dialogue especially. I take the dialogue all day. I want that constantly now. That's the level that we need to be looking at these shows, and I hope that they keep them going. But that's it. So thanks very much for listening. If you've kept going for 40 minutes nearly. And I've been Carl. If you want to tweet me, it's Tastemakers UK. And let me know what you think. So thank you very much. I'm on my own now.